Alright, time for another Google's Evil and Do Not God video presentation. Such. Alright. I don't have a video. It's just nothing. the subject is, for the week, thoughts on just reflecting on how ineffective, pretty much I have been. And, how frustrating that is, because I don't think I'm wrong about anything, really. Not much, anyway. And you're saying, well, this should be a pretty easy job. You just figure out the truth, and then you explain the truth, and, what's the big deal? It's like you mix something together, and it turns out to be a good thing, a good drink or something, and you're just trying to persuade other people that, look, it's this simple, it's like desalinating water or something, and you say, okay, I can do that, and you do it, and it should just be pretty easy to, just tell the story. So, I've just been gapped out of relevancy in the sense that, I don't live in the same world anymore, that other people live in, the same distractions, the same attachments, it's a much more focused, and so I can't, in a sense, relate to the audience, regular humans. I don't even know, nothing even occurs to me. You just see what works, in terms of popular culture. And you say, I just really can't duplicate that kind of behavior. It's chaotic and contradictory and hypocritical. And, you can just keep going down the list. And you're like, well, I can't do any of that crap on purpose. No way. I don't know. It's hard to understand exactly what's going on. What makes the difference between, say, this channel and Joe Rogan or something. Now, I guess the first difference would be, I don't have great guests, and the subject is usually the same subject, which is something, not very encouraging. Kind of depressing and, anti-getting on with your daily distractions in a sense. They're not thoughts that are going to make you whistle through your day. So that's a huge liability, is what I'm selling. In spite of the fact that I think it has, this great truth value, it doesn't have much personal value. It's the kind of product you buy for your health. I don't know. It's a maintenance thing, in a sense. It's not even that, though. I won't bother trying to. Its utility is in the long term, not in the short term. So you have to think of something that has value over the long term. It's like, buying insurance. I don't know. It's not the kind of thing that's fun to buy, because you're not going to be able to see the value of it, until you need it. But it's not a great example, because that has to do with the shysterism of the pop culture and the whole idea of you're really not buying insurance, you're making somebody else rich. in some ways you're better off just saving the money for a rainy day kind of thing, than paying twice as much, for insurance. But then the rainy day doesn't happen, and, then people are like, well, I didn't get to spend my money. But then they're supposed to be wanting to give it to the future that they cherish so much, but they don't seem to want to do that. So that's where all this duplicity and hypocrisy and, the overt contradictions in what people claim to be their values. So that was the other thing I thought about, was the whole idea that I wish we were more transparent. You can't use opaque or transparent. for the idea that you would want something where you could actually see what the other person is. You know, opaque makes it like you can't see the inside, and transparent means, you know, you can't see anything. So those two words aren't very useful. So that's part of the whole problem of communicating, is some of the words aren't very useful. The analogies and the metaphors. So I heard that too. I accidentally heard some radio, and two guys were talking about the economy, and they were using all kinds of crazy metaphors. You know, here's the economy on crack. You know, I mean, it's a, you know, just all kinds of just meme-y kind of, you know, all the, just to try to make it sound like the aliens are coming, or, you know, to try to make it seem like something more than it is, you know, by comparing it to Hitler and Mussolini or something, to try to, you know, get people excited. And it was just so, it was just so funny, because they never said anything. They just kept changing the analogy, you know, just kept making new analogies for, you're getting old and it's retirement time and you have to, you know, and, you know, because they're just selling financial services, and they were trying to make them sound like you're just not going to get ripped off. And of course, you're just going to get ripped off. That's the whole idea. The reason why they're selling it is because somebody paid them to sell it. Yeah, it's, So it's all, it's all such a racket. And you know, you have to be in the world that exists, though. You have to play the game as it's presented. And so, you know, after 20 years, you know, 19 years of doing this, you know, a moron just keeps doing the same thing, right? So, yeah, so in some sense, I'm a moron. An idiot. Whatever. An insane person. Yeah, because I can't think of it in any other terms of being done in some sort of this way. I can't imagine how else you do this rather difficult thing of, you know, selling an idea that the only reward is that you're being honest. No. Or that it's more, has more truth value, let's say. So that's part of this argument, is the part why it's frustrating to me, is because I really don't, I don't see any gray areas left, you know. I mean, the facts are kind of much more secure in where they're pointing. But the example is that so much of other elements of culture that claim to know what they're talking about don't have any idea what they're talking about. So the experts are, you know, there's an awful lot of experts who are experts in nonsense. You know, it's physicists, for example. but, you know, as I just pointed, economic people, you know, they don't really have a clue how the game is being, the real game's being played. You know, so you can go into lots of subjects and you can find lots of holes in human knowledge and understanding. And then the philosophy realm is all ruined by the mixture of just, oh, what is plainly, you know, religious fairy tales, and, you know, they're dragged into, you know, some sort of clinical description of what we can know about our psychology. You can almost argue, well, you know, Freud comes to mind just because people use that as the two, as an example of both things. You know, some bit of honesty, you know, about what humans are, but then it was just vulgar and, you know, sex-obsessed bullshit. that was kind of thin and you know, goofy. You know, as a theory of mind, it wasn't very deep. You know, that everything is some of the arguments made by Freud were just way too psychobabbly, excuse making. It's almost like he gave credence, he gave some incentive to people to create all these grandiose narratives, ego bullshit. Well, anyway, see, that's way too complex a subject. Shouldn't even touch that one. Because I would argue that he had lots of valuable insights, but they just all got lost in the pop culture drawing of Freud's science, you could argue. And you could say that happens to just about everybody. Einstein, for example. Did a lot of research on Einstein the last couple of weeks, and the picture they draw and the real, the map isn't the territory, it's a real problem, in culture, and especially dead people, they can't, fix misimpressions. Somebody else has to do it for them. That's a whole subject in itself. I'll take a pause and try to point this in some direction, but it's probably not going to have a direction because, I'm just stuck in a ground where, I just say, it's just so obvious what's happened here on Earth. Okay, it's evolution, right? Evolution is, it's such a messy subject in terms of, what we came from, the struggle, the economics of it, the whole idea that there are creatures on this planet that actually have, a million offspring and, a million short two, are annihilated, just gratuitously, in insane numbers, because it works as a way of, genetically preserving the little piece of DNA, the code. And that should be, to any kind of, reasonably logical mind, that should be a bad driver. That's not a car you want to get in. That's a system run by that kind of ethic. It would be a little frightening what kind of monsters it could create. And then the question is, we look at what we call a monster, like a big giant one of those would be a monster, right? But isn't that just appearance? I mean, that's a vegetarian. Well, that one's not. But the other one was, And fairly benign and harmless. He's prey rather than predator. But he's still stuck in a world where, it's all about the fight, and the struggle and, just getting the better seat on the rock, to have that position, for him to have that view, to be sitting on his rock, he had to go fight through a bunch of crap to get there. He had to fight all these competitors and beat the crap out of somebody else, to take that spot. And I've made a lot of videos about that, about how that's such a big part of the suck of our life, is that every decision we make, everything we have, you sort of have to take it. So if you have any money, you sort of took it from somebody else. If you have a job, you took it from somebody else. You have a wife, you took it from somebody else. I mean, it's all tainted, by the fact that deserve doesn't have much, if anything, to do with anything. And, most of our life is, luck, good fortune, being in the right place at the right time, going to the right school, being born in the right house, it's all chaotic, randomized, made unconnected, to merit and those kind of good concepts. So this is one of the contradictions or ironies in people, is that they seem to thrive and have a real hunger to watch the drama of competition. And they're quite willing to yell foul because somebody did something inappropriate, you know, in the contest. You know, they broke a rule, you know. And they'll crucify them for, you know, rule breaking. You know, they can't even say something inappropriate, you know, or they're a damaged and flawed competitor. But they don't have the same standards for their own existence and their own values and their own playing of the human game. The game they're playing every day, the social game. They don't have anything like the same obsession with playing by any kind of rules or fair fighting or any of that. Because it's about them, you know, and that's the difference. And even the, you know, the show is about them. Entertain me, you know. Make the right person win so I'll be happy. Or else you won't get high ratings. You know, it's all such a pile of crap. Yeah, well, that's probably a good... It's all such a pile of crap. So I'll be back. Sorry, I just... Very low enthusiasm. You know. But, you know, it'll get better. I mean, the, you know, part of me says I have to dialogue more. You know, so I have to find the appropriate candidate for talking through even somebody just devil's advocating, somebody who can be somebody who can make the generic argument. I suppose that's something else I should point out. It's just the other thing that I was thinking about that I've, you know, mentioned before, is just the, back to being able to see what people are and the idea of you know, it would just be nice to be able to have the data sheet, you know, the survey questions. You know, just ask the list of questions, and so you know the person you're talking to, what the hell, who the hell are they? I mean, do they believe in any of this religious crap or spirit crap or, you know, singularity crap, crystal crap, you know, entangled crap? You know, how much crap is in their head in terms of how much fog of bullshit and nonsense, you know, are they seeing reality through? Because, yeah, you got to fix all that before you can really have a fair conversation. I mean, you really can't have the contest. It's like a horse race on a muddy track or something. You know, if the mud's a foot thick, there's just no point. You know, there's a point where, you know, it's just, it's not the same game anymore. You're playing some other game. They sort of have that with football when they played it outdoors, because, you know, sometimes the weather conditions were so bad that you'd say, well, this isn't even football anymore. It's some other game they're playing, because, you know, everything they've trained to play, the game they've trained to play, they can't play because there's too much wind or there's too much rain or there's too much snow or there's too much something else. And, there's not much value, I guess, in just redoing arguments that other people have done better. That's, that would be one argument. There's no, I might as well just play clips of other people making those arguments, you know, than redoing it. But then you could, you could argue that they don't make very good arguments. They make good titles, so I thought of that. God isn't a good theory. I think Sean Carroll wrote a book with that title, I think. But anyway, it's a great phrase, right? I mean, God isn't a very good theory. I mean, it's just really, the evidence just sucks. And all the counter evidence, you know, of the fact that all the religions look like just made up stories, and obviously most of them have to be because they're conflicting with each other. So they don't have much, there's not much truth value in the testimony. because they can't all be right about what the alien looks like, kind of thing. I mean, their description of the alien is so different, you know, that you obviously know the testimony of the witnesses doesn't have any value. You know, so there's lots of ways to protect yourself from some gullible moment where you fall for it, because it's just so obvious that it's just human bullshit. You know, that's the other good phrase, you know, is that people believe in a God. You know, it's not like God created them, they created God. You know, so you have those little meme-y statements that should have some power in terms of making people pause about their confidence, you know. But most of the people who have confidence, they have it because of some stupid superstition, you know. They didn't step on a crack and their uncle's cancer was cured, you know, or some kind of stupid thing. You know, they prayed for something and it actually happened, you know, or some kind of bullshit. And that's why they believe, you know, it's just a superstition. And, you know, yuck. That's not very smart. All right, now I'll pause. All right, back. All right, so, it's, you know, when you give yourself some time to think and you're thinking about ethics and all that kind of stuff, all of a sudden, you know, Hitler just pops in there, right? It's always, you know. You can't evade the gigantic meme in the China shop or whatever. So, you know, because I was thinking about how everything that's you think that's, you know, a good thing or a bad thing, and it's, you know, the real thing is so much different. So, you know, I could spend most of my life saying, oh, you know, running over a cat is the worst thing. Oh, that's just terrible. You hit a cat, you know, horrible, horrible, horrible. But the fact is, it's probably better than what nature has in store. So it's sort of ironic that things that are, in fact, bad. I mean, it's bad that the little animal gets whacked. And, you know, all that can go with that even, you know, kind of a half-dead and having to die thing. Kitty. Anyway, it's just, you know, it's just... It's horrible, but realistically, when you think about it, well, what's the fate if that doesn't happen? If something doesn't snatch you, okay, from your voyage here on Earth, you're going to be substantially tortured, okay? You're going to be really degraded in your function. You're going to be, you know, the just taking a deep breath without it hurting or something is going to be like that's your good day. You know, it's not going to be good. But the fact is we just don't think that way. So, you know, it's all this superficial thing. And so you say, all right, you say, who, you know, I make this argument that the only thing we have to live for is our effect on the game. I mean, in the end, it's just a tally. And the tally is, how much damage did you do to your own psychology? That is, how much did you torment yourself? And, you know, are imposed on yourself by bad choices and all of that crap, bad decisions. You don't really make choices. Your brain just decides. And the decisions that affected other people. So what's your blood footprint? Okay, I think that's a pretty good analogy, you know, metaphor, perverted for a different purpose. You know, but anyway... And the blood would just represent, in this case, a cost. How much cost, you know, how much waste? That would probably be the best way to put it. How much of it was squandered and wasted? You know, how much energy leaked out of your life? How much value leaked out of it? Because, yeah, you were selfish, and you can't really justify any of that. Because all the other brains are doing the same thing your brain is doing. It's just seeking comfort. And the game is, how much comfort did you produce versus how much torture? Anyway, so, and then you just get into the more complicated, back to the horse race analogy, of what is unacceptably bad? You know, what is, you know, what are the values of these, you know, is torture really something you can make up for with a song and a dance? I mean, can you do a song and a dance and then you'll make up for somebody else's torture? You know, and that's the whole question too, is the ethics of, it's just fine for you to say, well, you know, we went to Disneyland and we only tortured one of the five people in the car, you know. So is it okay to torture one of them for the other four to have a good time? Is that ethical? I mean, can that ever be justified? Just because it's one, it's all right. That's an acceptable expense. So those are the points that complicate what, you know, should be something simple. So, you know, you have the simple argument that Hitler sucked. Because 50 million people, because of his decisions, because of his bad strategy, you could argue. And obviously it would go beyond just strategy. It would go to the ethics of his bigotry. or the reasonableness of the excesses. You could just argue excesses. Pigeonhole is the wrong word. I mean, you know, the extremism. You know, if he had his hate in some sort of moderation, you know, then maybe what he would have done would have just been seen as some sort of mistake that any human could make. You know, a strategic mistake. but anyway, I mean, he was a vegetarian. He loved his dogs. I mean, he, you know, blah 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 blah. You know, you can make the argument that he wasn't in his own life some kind of despicable person. I don't think he went around just stepping on things and kicking things. But anyway, but who knows? I don't want to. The very fact that people can't even, because of their counter extremism, you can't even have a conversation like this, because it's, you know, they'll just say you're defending something, and I'm not defending anything. But anyway, the point I wanted to get to was, it could be argued, like the cat getting run over in the street, that from a different point of view, okay, how much is that torture worth in terms of the benefit, which was a bunch of people didn't breed. Yeah, so a bunch of breeders were killed. Potential breeders were taken out of the game. Okay, a lot of young people who would have had families and all that kind of crap. Now, obviously there was some increase in population, you know, by the people who were left over, but you could argue that was going to happen anyway. I mean, you know, there's the drop in population, I don't think was, I don't think the amount of post-war baby making was anything more than what it would have done anyway, okay? And it would have been worse, because it was already on that slope. It was like the worst part of the population boom was, you know, because we got rid of infant mortality, you know, substantially made a dent in infant mortality. You know, a lot of things happened in the early 1900s, you know, that already had spelled the disaster of insane population growth. So my argument would be that, yeah, there is a lot of stuff that he prevented in terms of a lot of people who don't exist that would be existing. We'd have maybe 10 billion people on Earth instead of the number we have, eight. I guess we're at eight now, officially, I think. I mean, that doesn't seem like a hard statistic to really have. But anyway, you know, my bad. I think it's eight. But they don't count very well, so it's, you know, who knows. But anyway, so the argument could be made that here's a bunch of people that won't have to die in nursing homes, a bunch of people won't be alcoholics, a bunch of people won't gamble away their fortune, a bunch of people who won't get ALS, a bunch of people, you know, you can just go down all the list of all the miseries that will be evaded. You know, a bunch of people not living in cardboard boxes that would be, you know, so in some insane way, you know, you have to balance the prices, you know, and what's worse, you know, dying in a concentration camp or dying in a nursing home. So it gets to be about when the person dies and what they would have done with the life they would have had. And the fact is that I could make the argument that most people don't do anything with their life. Anything that does the world any good or the collective population of sentient organisms on Earth, that it's not in any way obvious that every human life is enhancing, okay, what's happening to the future. And there's all kinds of evidence I could present that what's happening is they're mortgaging the future, they're selling the future into slavery, or at least into a dystopia, because of a breakdown in, you know, the boat of civilization. I mean, they're drilling holes in the boat, and it's guaranteed. Well, they're eating it. Let's just say they're cutting the steel out of the boat, you know, and replacing it with, you know, some sort of plastic because they want to use the steel. You know, they're taking the value of the structure and consuming it. And, you know, they've done that to the environment. And, you know, lots of ways you could just make the point that they're going to cause a lot of grief for the future, for their convenience now. And, you know, that's an argument lots of people are making. I'd argue they're making it kind of a sappy, too emotionalized way. But, and it should just be understood that it should be something every human being is instructed in, is in understanding their role here, which is you have to take care of yourself. Yes. Okay. You're not going to feel good if you don't take care of yourself. All right. You're going to have a bad future if you don't get educated, if you don't do this, if you don't do that. So that has to be instilled and, but also made relevant has to be the idea that you're responsible for what happens, because of how you take in air and where you shit and how you shit and everything you do is kind of going to affect something else. And you have to be, to some extent, okay, aware of those complications. And, you know, this is the tricky part because, yes, any parent giving that explanation is going to have a hard time justifying their own self-indulgence, you know, their own waste that's on their own plate that isn't feeding the Chinese, you know, to use a statement used in my generation, you know, that people would argue this stuff and use that argument that there's people starving in China, you know, so don't waste. It's a fact, okay? To me, it was sort of an interesting, you know, I mean, it was a thought you didn't just throw out. You had to sit there and think about it and say, yeah, it's true, you know, and so I guess that's the difference between person A and person B is, you know, the phrase makes them think and, you know, and the other person just keeps on eating their hamburger. Yeah, it's all those little things, you know, that I remember it's not the day I became a vegetarian, but the day that it was written that I will become one, you know, was looking at a turkey carcass on the table and I'm, you know, enjoying picking its bones and, you know, and there was that troubling thought, what about the turkey, you know? Well, what did he get out of this deal? And, I couldn't justify. That was when my brain said, well, you really don't have a justification. You know, you don't have to be eating this. You could be eating something else. I mean, there's an apple over there. You could be eating that. So why are you eating this instead? And that, my own inability to answer the question with anything other than, because I'm a selfish cunt, made it clear, you know, and I'm just saying that sort of spelled the end of my ability to comfortably be a meat eater, because it was going to come back, that thought. It was going to keep nagging me that I haven't justified this. I haven't resolved my role here. And so back to the parent trying to teach a kid this, you know, life lesson. Yes, it can only come out as grotesque hypocrisy, because they're basically going to have to tell their kid, well, you're going to have to accept the fact that you can't control anything either. So you're going to have all this liability, and it's real liability. I mean, it's really going to be your fault and, you know, your mistakes. There's real high prices that can be paid, and there's not, you know, there's nothing you can do about it. I mean, why, you know, that's, it's sort of right there. You have a track that's unplayable. You know, you have a game that's unplayable. This is not, you can't play a good game on this surface. So if this is the foundation you're living in, you know, it's not acceptable, because, yeah, it's just basically saying we're just going to accept waste, and a lot of it. So much of it that there's nothing we could argue we're making of value that could justify the amount of, you know. So it's like coming up with a cure for cancer, you know, and for every, it's like the cure requires you to, you know, kind of, in a horrible way, torture three people to save the one. There's no economics to it. There's no, you can't make it make sense that you're going to, you know, pay that high a price, because there's absolutely no way to defend it. You know, you're preventing torture by torturing three people to prevent one person. You're doing exactly the opposite from what we should be doing, you know, which is torture one to save three from torture, you know, that kind of thing. So so I would argue that this is probably, so the reason why, well, the first reason that kids aren't trained very well is because parents are idiots. People who breed are idiots, generally speaking. You have to be an idiot to step into that dioxin-laden lake. You know, I mean, you obviously have no concept of reasonable risk and reward and all of that stuff. You really aren't playing anything like a sensible chess strategy. You're just moving pieces randomly because, well, I know the horsey goes this way, and that's as far as they're going. They're not taking any responsibility for how, what that move will cause. You know, none of that is their job. Their job is just to make pieces move, and then pretend when they lose the game that, well, it's not my fault. I just moved pieces. Something like that. Yeah. All right. I'll take another break, and we'll see what occurs to me. I am back. So I was thinking about monarchies and controls. You know, I almost like the religion thing, a controlled philosophy, the preachers, you know, the bishops, the game being played to manipulate the masses to live their privileged life and all of that kind of crap. And that even when you give people that information, you know, it's like you get like the Jimmy Swaggart kind of thing. You know, the guy can expose himself as being a despicable liar for money. And all he says is, I've sinned, and cries a little bit. And, you know, everybody says, oh, yeah, it's okay. We forgive you. You're forgiving somebody who actually had, you know, every sinister and malicious and evil purpose imaginable. You know, you can't forgive that in the sense that, why do you think he's at all reclamated? He's just performing some more for you in a way that will get him rewarded. And that's, he's, you know, so it's just the same game. So it's like, even when you give people the option through a democracy to do the right thing, they still vote for the wrong thing. You know, even Google, you know, you could just imagine that, you know, somebody, there could be a great Google debate, all right, and then we could have a vote tomorrow about whether or not we're going to keep letting Google run the internet. You know, and the fact is, yeah, it wouldn't matter if people heard all of the stories, you know, about how this malicious corporation has gamed them from the very beginning, how it put all the other search engines out of business by giving it away for free. And that it, giving it away for free means the venture capitalists took all the losses. They lost money, okay, for 3 years. They lost a lot of money. They invested a big giant pile of money for the express purpose of annihilating the competition, just making it impossible for anyone else to have a financial model that would work. So they just basically unemployed and destroyed all the competition so they could take the territory. I mean, this is a William Randolph Hearst tactic. At least Hearst was quite honest about it. You know, he quite honestly stated, yeah, I can lose $2 million for 100 years. You know, who $2 million, who cares? So, yeah, my paper's losing money. My newspaper, who cares? It's doing a great service in the sense that it's wiping out all the competition. So eventually I'll be the only newspaper. You know, this is how it works. This is what Google's first crime, let alone all the other crimes, you know, where they got the slogan, we're not evil, don't be evil. You know, when their whole agenda, right from the very start, was evil. I mean, nobody, obviously you could understand that nobody with money gives away their money without, you know, some idea that they're going to get more money back, okay? It's an investment. People didn't invest in Google because they loved the human race and they wanted to give them a free search engine. No, they invested in it because they knew the secret plan, okay, which was to dump this ad revenue plan on the internet, you know, where everything got monetized by Google, through Google. And they'll put ads on every website on the internet, you know. And if any other company had suggested it, you know, it's no way. But I'm just saying, see, this is how difficult this is. This seems to be a really easy subject. And it's a subject I was, you know, barking about 30 years ago, you know, long before I got, you know, on YouTube. You know, I was fighting the Google menace because you could see the plan. You could see it happening right in front of us. I was watching it happen. And I was trying to tell people, this is not a good thing. And they didn't want to hear it. You know, because Google's our friend. Google's happy and fun. And look, it changes its little silly icon every day. And yeah. And so, you know, in some respects, I can't feel too bad about this failure when I couldn't succeed at something that should have been easy. You know, just because there was lots of people, I mean, they hated Microsoft and they hated these companies, you know, certain ones that had, you know, they could understand how they've just been exploited. Like the whole, I'm going to copyright every program on the internet. I mean, you know, Bill Gates is super evil. I mean, first he didn't invent anything. He gamed Big Blue, IBM. And because IBM didn't know what computers really were, I mean, they were making them, but they didn't really understand how they'd be of any value. You know, they outsourced the operating system and you know, gave Bill Gates essentially a forever copyright on the foundation, the platform that all software would be built on. And so Bill Gates could essentially take ownership of anybody's intellectual property because it had to work on his operating system. I mean, a terrible, you know, I mean, just gigantic, monstrous profits made by Microsoft just exploiting. I mean, you know, selling something that had a nickel's worth of value for $40, you know, that kind of crap. I mean, it cost them 5 cents to make the CD, you know, and they'll sell it to you for, you know, $25, that kind of bullshit. I mean, such gross exploitation of a patent, you know, of a copyright or whatever you want to call it, and you know, one that wasn't really legitimate. You shouldn't have been able to. So it's like somebody in the, you know, making the original wheel and then copyright and say, I have a patent on it. Yeah, everybody has to pay me every time they make a round wheel. Yeah, too stupid. Yeah, I didn't really want to get on that subject, but that's where it ended up. But my point is that even when you give people the facts and you give them every ability to make reasonable choices about figuring out what's right and what's wrong, and what's the right direction and a wrong direction. They're just so owned by their attachments and their dependencies and their addictions that they just can't face that truth. So again, I can make it personal. I could say there was lots of things I didn't get, you know. I thought gambling was sort of a benign thing, and I would engage in it here and there and play along. I bought some lottery tickets. Even wasted some time, you know, figuring out probabilities and seeing if I could find, statistical gaps, you know, in the machine they were using to make little balls pop up. Somewhere something turned, okay, and an idea got in my head that, wait a minute, do I like this because I enjoy doing it? You know, or do I really think this has value, like it's really going to work? Or and then the bigger picture question was, is this in any way good for society? Is this whole idea of making one person rich while a bunch of people spend their welfare checks on lottery tickets, I mean, isn't this a huge transfer of money from the poor to one rich person? I mean, it's just completely anti all of my other philosophical ideas. And then there's the whole liability of the fact that it's just too dangerous for people. Okay, there's too many people that can't control their entertainment. And, they lose their house and their marriage and their kids and their life, and everything gets ruined and there's all kinds of horror. Why? This is too expensive. It's too socially expensive. There's just a bunch of rich people getting richer off of it. It's a huge transfer of money from poor people to rich people. How the hell can I support that? It's too silly. But again, it's another issue where obviously I'm gapped. I'm marginalized as in a piner because everybody thinks this is just swell. And, you know, they're anytime you give the public an opportunity to vote on more gambling, they vote for it. You know, they're just too stupid. And the only people who are against it are fanatic religious kooks, which, you know, puts me in a, makes the argument that much harder to make because it just sounds like you're making a moral statement when, no, I'm not making a moral statement. I'm not saying you're going to hell. I'm saying you're creating hell, okay? You're subsidizing a machinery, okay, that makes hell on earth for human beings. And you have to recognize that, yeah, there's just too many people that are too stupid. And, you know, the point is, too, though, you should be able to be honest and just say the people who think gambling works because they think they're winners aren't really winners. They're just lying to themselves. And, again, only because they find it very entertaining and engaging. It's a really good movie, The Gambling. You know, The Gambling is really, it's life-affirming for them because they enjoy doing it. They like catching the golden fish. You know, it's like they're fishing for golden fish. It makes fishing a lot more fun, right? If every lake you went fishing in and there was a golden fish, you know, that was worth $1 million, there'd be a lot more people fishing. Okay? It's just a fact. So, yeah, this is something that intrigues a mind, but it's not a very big mind. It would be the point. The point is if you're defending that kind of crap, you're brain isn't very big, the part that's working anyway. There aren't too many neurons firing in any kind of rational way if you aren't recognizing that if you look at the real effect is, yeah, you're just finding another way for the rich to wring dimes out of the poor. You know, you're just defending the worst of the capitalist machinery. The most egregious, wasteful profit engine. You think of all the electricity wasted and all the bullshit and on all the facades and all on just on all kinds of just crap that couldn't possibly. It's not like you're It's not like you're paying for the roulette wheel. You know, you're paying for all the bullshit that goes with it, all the fancy crap, so completely superfluous to, you know, what would have been your enjoyment. Because all that fancy crap is what's seducing the real morons, you know. Shit. Yeah, and the seduction is part of it. I mean, you can't deny that that's what works on people. And that's one of the things I can't do. You know, it's, you know, I'm not going to put on makeup and, you know, try to seduce you into believing, you know, it's not going to happen. Well, see, even that, you have to pause a little bit and you say, well, yeah, there is, you can use phrases and you can use words. I mean, blood footprint, that's a simplification, you know, that's kind of intended to, you know, create emotional reaction and blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, some seduction. I guess I'm guilty of playing some games with some words to try to make it more palatable and jarring or more interesting or more something. But it is a minimum amount. Okay, you have to concede. I'm not working at it very hard to try to be your friend or try to, bullhorn you into it or, you know, seductive, sweet talk you into it or do anything else to encourage you. Besides have your brain, you know, start working on the facts and figuring out that, yeah, why would I impose this on somebody? That would be really terrible because this is a tricky game to play. Life isn't simple. No, it's really complicated. Even if you're a nihilist, selfish cunt, it's still hard to play. You know, and win. I mean, there's still odds are against you kind of thing. There's lots of other lizards after the same rock you're trying to get to. And, you know, and that's if you're small-minded, it still work. If you have a more expansive understanding and you recognize all these implications, well, then you have even more work to do because then you have to look at all your competitors and you have to say, well, that guy really is better than me. Okay, yeah, I mean, if there's going to be a, you're going to make a new egg, you probably should make it out of him. You know, those kinds of things, that's so much more work for somebody to do is to be honest and recognize that maybe they haven't earned the best rock. Maybe they have, you know, maybe the world will be better if they're not as happy as they should be or would like to be. And maybe the world will be better if somebody else has what they have. Somebody else will do more with it. So then, yeah, that just, as soon as I say do more with it, the word education pops into my head because it's all the wasted college educations. You know, all the rich spawn, you know, they send their little kids out to take a place in a university and they never use any of the education. You know, they just spend the rest of their life debaucherous golfers and whatnot. And, you know, it's all wasted. Just wasted a perfectly good seat in an educational institution because there was no intention to ever turn it into anything of value. You know, all that kind of crap is just so stupid. Yeah. Anyway, I don't want to get into... See, that's an argument that lots of people should be able to make better than me, or at least as good, or I shouldn't have to make all the arguments. You know, but there's this stupid economics of, you know, all this, these, you know. You don't have to say, you don't have to be a communist to understand waste, okay? So, you know, but that's this is part of the problem, right? Is there's just the extremes. You have to be either an insane capitalist or a crazy communist. You're not allowed to be anything else. And that really sucks. But that's, you know, part of the fact that people can't even, people are so dysfunctional in understanding that their life is, they're living it in a system, and the system needs to have integrity, needs to be well built, or you're not going to be able to play a good game. You're walking a tightrope. It needs to be, you know, it's bad enough just walking a good tightrope, right? What if the rope isn't made out of rope? You know, what if the, you know, the whole thing's a piece of shit. Well, you know, then it doesn't matter whether you train and you try to be as good a player as you can be, because there's no field to play on. And that's sort of what we've done to politics and social engineering. It's not a good word, it's a negative word. It's a really good word. We should be engineering our society. We should be engineering our civilization, you know, to have mechanisms that work, you know, not mechanisms that are just exploitation for some special interest. And that, I'm sure if I ask that question, should we engineer society for the special interest, people say no. But they vote for it, you know, so it doesn't matter that they say no to special interest rule. But every time there's an opportunity for a special interest to take control, they give them the reins. They give them the steering wheel. No. Anyway. All right, that's probably enough. Yeah, we're close enough to an hour for me to surrender. So, I am thinking on, you know, just the idea of what, you know, this channel needs something, okay? Because it needs more relevancy. You know, it's just hard to figure out exactly how you create that out of something that isn't going to be a product. You know, I'm not going to be a product. And even if I could, I just don't even know if I don't, it's like applying your imagination to writing a kindergarten song or something. I just don't want to do that. I mean, I don't want to try to write a great kiddie song or something. You know, that would just be painful. Teletubbies. Porridge. No, I don't want to do that. So I have to do it some other way. Some more honest, some more where I can be me, but I don't have to compromise anything important. I mean, maybe if I wore a tie, right, I could wear a tie again. See, that didn't really work either, though. So, I mean, even when I was trying to do different things, it really didn't make any difference. I mean, I did the GNUs and I did, you know, different things, and it really didn't make a difference. So it's, I don't think I have to have more personality. you know, so I think I just have to, you know, this is just the organize all the content into, you know, an hour and a half at the most. Make a documentary. So that's what I really should do. It's just attempt to make, you know, one product that inspires the 10 key points, you know, the whole blood footprint, the whole idea that your life is more than just your life. The fact is your life is going to affect all these other lives, and you have to be aware of that, and you have to be conscious of the parts that are obvious, the parts where there's, you have to concede there's a low probability that a certain action you take is going to benefit your wife or kids, you know, that kind of thing. You know, there's times when you can see, okay, that yes, I'm compromising that person's welfare for my benefit. And it's not subtle at all. It's obvious. And we should at least be able to say we should act appropriately in those circumstances. And there's lots of circumstances where we just can't know the truth. What's best? Shoot them now or shoot them later? You know. When's the right time to squish some person? You know, just for their own good. When's the right time to do it? Those are a little more difficult, those questions. With some people, it's not too difficult. But as stated, it gets difficult because, yeah. If we squished, you know, if we could have squished Hitler, would it, you know, there is a possibility that his second in charge would have been worse. Yeah. Anyway. So, till the next time and such and so forth and whatnot. I'll keep thinking. I'll work on it. That's all there is. Do my best, sort of. I mean, the best I can come up with, anyway. Apparently, this is my peak performance. I really am, I really am. It is work thinking about crap that isn't much fun to think about. Strategies and stuff. Oh, yuck. How to phrase something. Oh, what a terrible way to spend, how do I explain, the blackness of this flashlight? Who wants to waste neurons trying to, how do I convince people? Okay, that. Yeah, it's no fun doing that. Anyway, till the next time and such, so forth and whatnot. So, this has been a Google is Evil. Yeah. I wish somebody cared. But anyway. DoNotGod.com video presentation. Thanks for your attention and such.